Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
Today, we're going to look at Psalm 121. The title that I have for this psalm is Hope Always. Next Sunday, which is the first Sunday of the month, we're going to look at Psalm 65. And this is a message that has been burning in my heart for the last few weeks as I prepare Psalm 65. And I'm going to call it the crown of his goodness. But today, hope always. Always hope. And we are coming to the end of 2018. The last Sunday. The last Sunday of 2018. Why don't you turn on to someone and say, I almost make it. Almost make it, because we are still not reached the end of 2018. You know, and I tell you, I just noticed, I don't know about you, I noticed that time seems to be passing very fast, how time has passed. You know, I look at it today, just like a few Sunday ago. How many realize that? Like today, just like a few Sunday ago. You know, they say that when you grow older, time run. The reason time run as you grow older, because everything you are doing is a bit slower. You know, how true it is. And I want to thank God for his goodness and faithfulness in 2018. What a year. What a year. And these are some of the highlights that I have. If you watch television, in the next few days, you will always be seeing flashback of the highlight of 2018. And you realize that when you look at those highlights of 2018, most of them are not very good highlights, you know. But I want you to share with you the highlight I have in 2018. I had this highlight of great joy. The great joy that I have was when I see how Grace City Church, one church, two campuses, taking shape. You know, we have this team. We are better together. And it sounds more than a good slogan. I was actually seeing this becoming a reality in my eyes. My heart was filled with joy, you know, with gratefulness when I see that 12 campuses could come together and pray and praise and worship and plan and discuss how the leaders from both campuses came together. And the greatest delight, when they come together, there is nothing more than coming together to what? To eat. There's something about human. They say, you don't want to eat with an enemy, would you? You always want to eat with who? With a friend. I don't know about you. When I go to a 10-course dinner, Singapore, when there's a wedding, there's a 10-course dinner. You sit on a table and there are 10 people, and they call it a 10-course dinner. And it can go on for 2 to 3 hours. And you're sitting on the table with another 9 people, and you do not know any of them. Everybody say, hello, hello, and they introduce themselves. And I think they just cannot wait for the dinner to get over. But 2 to 3 hours, if my wife is with me, at least we'll be talking. Other than that, everyone is just trying to kill time. So it is finished. But I love going to a 10-course dinner where the table is people who you know, people who are your friends. You have a lot to talk. In fact, you are talking so much that the restaurant want to tell you, we are closing. Time to go. But you still want to sit there and what? And talk. And then when you get out of the restaurant, outside the door, you are still what? Talking. There's something about people of God who love one another and know each other. When they come together and they feast, they are like what? One big family. And I tell you, I have seen how Grace City Church, when we come together, when we put a feast, it is a good feast. And I thank God for our sister Ying, you know, our sister Ying here and the FMB team. When they put a feast, you not only are fed, you can also have takeaway. How do you like that? Don't they do a good job? So there were those moments bring great joy to my heart. And there was also moments of great hope. When I believe for myself and for Grace City Church, you know, we have this theme this year, live out our hope. You know, it gave me a renewed strength to believe that I can dream the dream of God, to dream again of what God has laid upon my heart, and to dream big dreams. Moments of great hope. But there were also moments of great challenge. Moment of great challenge. That moment was when I took not a joy ride, but a 10-minute ambulance ride. When I was staying with my friends in Melbourne, all of a sudden in the early morning, my head just went dancing, rotating like nobody's business, and I was alone there. I could not get up, and I had to slide down on the bed. One thing about Melbourne, they don't have brick wall. All their internal walls are not brick wall. They are, actual fact, plasterboard. So I have to slide near to the plasterboard and whack the wall so that my friend and his wife, they were sleeping next door, could hear me. And they came, and I was in a bad shape. I thought I was dying. And it was a 10-minute ride. It was not a joy ride. And I went to Melbourne Hospital, and later on I came back. And I'm telling you, one day I received a letter. How many realize that we are living in a time when you get any letter on the letterbox, it's always B-I-L-L, Bill. And when I got this letter, I opened, it was from the St. John of God in Melbourne. And they give me an invoice of $1,004 for this ride. Now, it's not my head spinning. Now, it's more than that. And when I look at it, I was shocked. But thank God, you know, health insurance pay for it. The amazing thing is that the night before I have this happening, a sister, you know, Christine Big in Nola, who worship in Nola Mara, God woke her up in the early morning, woke her up in a dream. And the dream she had was that Pastor Stewart is taking an ambulance and going to hospital. Before it happened, of course, when she wake up, she tell herself, it must be the pizza. This is not a right ring because Pastor Stewart is on his way back from Auckland. It cannot be he's going to a hospital. You know, so she didn't pray. She went to sleep. You know, if God does give you a dream and you are not sure, it's always good to what? Just pray. Just pray. You know, and God knows everything that is happening. So when I look at this year, you know, it's a blessed year, it's a great year. It has its up and down. Life is always about up and down. It has its fast moment where your heart beats very fast. And it has its slow moment. You know, I'm glad that I'm still alive. How many of you are glad you are alive? That you are breathing, they are here in church today. You know, that I can still believe and I can still hope always. And I'm still praying and waiting for prayers to be answered, for dreams to be fulfilled. How about you as you come towards the end of the year? Always what? Always hope. Always hope. I want to look at Psalm 1:1. This is a personal psalm. A personal psalm for 2018. This is called the Song of Ascent. It's literally a song of going up. Song of Ascent means songs of going up. That when they sing this song, they are actually fact going up. How many of you realize that God has given us a new song? And the song that He called us to sing is the going up song. Now, I don't want to sing song that is going down. Going down songs are not very nice. They're very blue, very moody. But God said, I put a song in your heart, and the song that I want you to sing is a going up song. That even in times of tribulation, time of testing, time of difficulty, time of uncertainty, you can sing the song that is going where? Going up. Because this is what God has caused. He has called us to what? To go up. Because in His Word, He has said, where do you sit? Where do you sit? Well, you say, Pastor, I'm sitting here, right here. Yes, you are sitting here, on this place, in this house. But the Bible says, even though you are seated here, He has positioned you where? Up there. Can you understand that? I'm sitting here, but my position is where? Not here. My position in Christ is where? Up there. That's why the Bible always tells us that we should not set our mind on here, but we should set our mind where? Up there. Because there is where our position is. So this song that the Israelites will sing, you know, it's called the Going Up Song. And this song is saying, during one of the feasts, whether it's Passover, Pentecost, or the Feast of Tabernacle, this song is called the Pilgrim Song. I have a bit of me coughing the last few days. Can you hear me clearly? This song is called the Pilgrim Song. I want you to know, next PowerPoint, I want you to know that every year, 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019, every year is a pilgrimage. Every year. You realize that? One day, when Jacob, when he was very old, Joseph, his son, who was the prime minister, brought him to face Pharaoh. Joseph introduced to Pharaoh, this is my dad. And Pharaoh looked at Jacob. And Pharaoh asked Jacob, how old are you? How old are you? Jacob replied to him, was not, I am 120 years old. Jacob replied to him, he said, the years of my privilege are 130. Jacob see his life as a life that is on a pilgrimage. You need to see your life as a life that is on a what? A pilgrimage. That you are pilgrim. Say this one, I am a pilgrim. I'm a pilgrim. One of the feasts, when they sing this as they go up the hill, is called the Feast of Tabernacle. Now, many people today, when they celebrate the Feast of Tabernacle, they like the singing and the worship. But to the Israelite, when they celebrate the Feast of Tabernacle, it means that they go up to the hill, and for 7 days, for 7 nights, they don't stay in the hotel or in the house. They stay where? They stay under the tent. They build a tent and stay under the tent. Why does God want them to do that every year? So that in this time, for 7 nights when they stay under the tent, they begin to realize that once they were travelers in the wilderness. You see, the church do no justice to you if we do not remind you that you are a pilgrim. Hello? That you are a pilgrim. You need to realize that you are not here forever. You need to realize that your life here is a pilgrimage. You are a pilgrim. This world is not our home. Say amen to that. Even though how attractive it may be, how beautiful it may be, that this world can provide you, this world is not your home. Hello? This world is not your home. You are just passing by here temporarily. You are on the transit. One day your journey will end. You see, when Christians do not have this understanding that they are a pilgrim, they become what? They become accumulator. They accumulate, they hoard, You know, and they begin to want more and more because they think that they are going to be here forever. Folks, I need to remind you, as I remind myself, as we come to the end of this year, I am a pilgrim. I am a pilgrim. I am on a pilgrimage. And so, this psalm is so good because it is a psalm of pilgrimage, so that I do not forget that I'm not here forever. I'm a pilgrim on earth. You know, and as I begin to sing this psalm and read this psalm, it's a psalm of going up. I don't know about you. As you grow older, going up seems to be more attractive. As this body begins to become weak, as you find that you are not used to be as what you used to be, you don't walk, talk so much, you don't walk so much, you don't eat so much. How many realize that? I love buffet. But I have come to a time that when I pay the full price, I don't eat the full course. This is what happened. As you begin to see this someone to one, as you begin to see yourself as a pilgrim going up, then this psalm becomes a song that I sing louder and louder as I get older and older. 2018, like the year before and the year ahead, I have made this wonderful discovery about God. In my yearly pilgrimage, whether it's sun or rain, calm or storm, good time or difficult time, God is faithful. God is faithful. He's always there, there for me. His grace is enough for me. His love is so generous towards me. His strength is unlimited, and He's worked out all things for His goodness and purpose in me. 2018, I sing this song, 121, the pilgrim song. 2019, I'm going to sing this song again and again. So what does this song tell us? It tells us that in me, God is my helper. Look at verse 1 and verse 2. I look up to the mountain. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who makes the heaven and the earth. Now, as the pilgrim in the time of Israel were going up the hill, as they were going up the hill, they are going to face certain danger. The danger that is on the road, the danger of being robbed, the danger of war animals, and the dangers of weather, and even injury. You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. Bandits and thieves attacked and stole from the lonely pilgrim. They left him to die with his injury. Jesus spoke about our enemy. The enemy that we have, the enemy of our soul. Jesus said that he's a thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy our peace, our joy, our security, our blessing, what we love and value, and even our life. So as this pilgrim is going up the hill, there are danger around. Who can he turn to for help? There is no police post. You know, there is no helpline. There is no one around. When troubles and danger come upon them unexpectedly and suddenly, how many realize that when trouble knocks at your door, it doesn't tell you, I'm coming. It just appears at your door. So when danger comes upon them unexpectedly as they are going up the hill to make this pilgrimage, when it happened, who can they turn to? Who can help them? So the psalmist answered his own question. He said, my help comes from who? My help comes from God. It's not from the mountain. Of course, mountains always speak about might and strength. You see, it doesn't come from anywhere. My help comes from God. You see, it's very obvious that sometimes when we are in trouble, instead of going to God, we go to where? Our friends, our bank account. We go on what we have, then turning to God. So the psalmist say that when I'm going up this journey, and when trouble comes, I have no one to turn to. I have no one to turn to. And the only person who I can turn to is the God who makes heaven and the earth. The Creator, the Almighty God. So it's the only one I can turn to. You know, how often we try to solve our problem by looking at the wrong place, the wrong thing, and the wrong person. The psalmist tells us, the right place and the right person to look for help is the Creator of heaven and earth. God, who is higher than the hill, stronger than all the armies, and greater than all the economy, bigger than our need, larger than our problem, almightier than our trouble. He's the God who creates everything and controls everything. He is He is our helper, no matter what your needs and trouble may be. I remember when I was down on the floor, I thought I was going to die. I could only call upon one person, not my wife, not my children. I could only call upon one person. That is who? Jesus. There, I just said, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Did he help me? Yes, he helped me. I remember one time, as a teenager, almost get stabbed by gangsters in Singapore. Who can I call? Only Jesus. Jesus, help me. Wonder, I remember the word from Hebrew. Once that you have tasted the goodness of God, you taste how real God is. How can you ever walk away from Him or deny Him? Impossible. If you have tasted Him and you know that He is true. And so the Bible tells us that in that situation, the only person to call is God. Psalm 115 verse 3 tells, but our God is in heaven. He does what He pleases. That God is so powerful that nothing is too difficult, nothing is too hard for him. That when you are in trouble, when a problem comes across your way, when tragedy comes to you, God is your hope and your helper. Realize the power of God is not limited. The power of God is available for you. Understand that God chose to help you, that He has said to help you. In 2018 was the year when I was stretched left and right, top and bottom, one knee after another knee. Personal need, family need, campus need, like it never ends. I think some of us just cannot wait from the beginning of 2018, waiting for 2019. I just cannot wait for this year to come to an end so that I can have a new year, a new beginning. I'm glad that as the door of 2018 is closing soon, I'm going to stand in front of the door of 2019 with new faith, new hope, and new love. Because no matter what happened, God is my helper. And He has proven Himself true and true and true. And so when I look towards 2019, I know when needs and trouble comes, I'm not giving up. I'm hanging on to God, my helper. I will always hope in Him. The Creator is my helper. How about you? I discovered in my journey, in weariness, God is my strengthener. Look at verse 3 and verse 4. He will not let you stumble, your foot to slip. The one who watch over you will not slumber. Indeed, he will watch over Israel. He who watches over Israel, neither slumber or sleep. It's very easy when you're walking on a flat ground. I know some people, when they walk on a flat ground, they still trip and fall. It's very easy. But for this pilgrim, they are not walking on a flat ground. They are climbing what? A hill. A slope. And as they climb up, it's easy for them what? To slip. And if the rain comes, the slope gets what? Wet and slippery. Falling is very easy. But this is what the Bible says. Even though how uneven is the road, even though how difficult is the road, the Bible says that God will not allow their foot to slip. Say amen to that. In the road of life, there may be slippy road, there may be potholes, obstacle around, but God knows them all, and he will not allow you to slip and fall flat on your face. Say amen. He knows the path. He knows the way. He leads and guides you. God is my helper. God is my strengthener. Next time, when you feel weak, think of the strength of God. Unlimited strength, unrestricted strength available to you. Available not because of your goodness. Available because Christ, in his empowering grace, said that when I am weak, he makes me what? Strong. I have discovered the exchange that Christ does. Not only he take away my sin and give me life, but he take away my failure and give me victory. He take away my weakness and give me what? Give me strength. That Jesus Christ is the exchanger, that he has good things kept for you. See, when you trust in God's strength, it brings peace and safety to your weary heart and weary mind. Who will keep you? He who keeps you will not stumble. Behold, he who keeps Israel will never slumber or sleep. Wow. This is what God is. No parent can ever say, I watch my children 24/7. Parents must what? Sleep. God never does. God is on the 24/7 watch, 52 weeks a year watch, 365 days. I know certain years, there are 366 days. He is watching day after day. He watch you. In fact, his watch is better than CCTV. His eyes is on you. And when the Bible says that God's eyes is upon you, he watch you, it's not to find fault with you, to condemn you. He watch you for good and for his purpose. No matter how weary you are, God is powerful. He is never weary, never tired, never stumble, never asleep. He is ever awake and ever active on your behalf. You may be off guard, but not God. For his strength is available for you and enough for you. Isaiah 40, verse 29 to 31. Let's read that. Let's read it together. It's a very powerful verse. Why don't we read it together? Don't you know anything? Should we read together? 1, 2, 3. Don't you know anything? Have not you been listening? God does not come and go. God lasts. He is creator of all who can see or imagine. He does not get tired out, does not pause to catch his breath, and he knows everything inside out. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to the dropout, for even young people tire and drop out. Young folks in their prime stumble and fall, but those who wait upon the God shall get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagle. They run and do not get tired. They walk and do not lag behind. Hallelujah! Is it not great? Those that are living in their prime can also get tired. Young men can also get tired. You ask Joshua, after being a father, he will tell you not enough sleep. Get tired. Everyone gets tired in life. Everyone gets tired with problems, with trials. Everyone gets tired with lack. But yet the Bible tells God is never tired. He's ever ready to strengthen you so that you do not stumble or what? Or fall. Now, if I have such a God, and you have, my question to you, why worry? Why lose heart? Why lose your sleep over this and that? God gives strength to the weary, weak, and troubled. God is ever awake and constantly on the job. 2018, I felt the demand and the pressure of life, family, and church increasing physically, emotionally, and spiritual energy. I get jabbed. It draws on me. But you know, in life, after you give and give and give, you soon become a tank whose emotion is drained and empty. They say the worst kind of people is when they are an empty tank. They get cranky. They get upset easily. But as a pastor, you cannot be cranky. You cannot be upset. You must love all people at all times. Even the most difficult people, you still love with a smile. And when you come to that, when weariness kick in, God is my strengthener. Say amen to that. God is my strengthener. He strengthened me again and again and again with His grace. So I'm confident in 2019. When weariness visits me, and it will, I will hang on to God, my strengthener. The Creator God is my strengthener. I hope always in Him. I hope you do the same. Third thing, as they go up the hill, in trouble, God is my protector. Verse 5 and verse 6. The Lord Himself watches over me. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shield. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. 5 times in this passage, it's talking about God is your keeper. God is your protector. God is the one that will guard you. God is the one that will go before you in front of your enemy. God is your shade at the right. God is my shade at the right hand. A soldier in ancient time, this hand is for what? The left hand is for what? For the shield. What is the right hand for? The sword. What does the shield do? The shield protects you. So if the shield protects you, that means your right hand is what? Unprotected. So the Bible tells us that God is the shield of our right hand. That means God will what? God will protect you. Say amen to that. God will protect you from all danger. God will protect you from all harm. But don't tempt God. Don't test God. He said He will protect you. And so the Bible tells us that God has set Himself deliberately, purposely to be your protector, to protect you when you are vulnerable. All of us are vulnerable. When am I vulnerable? Some people say, when I'm strong, I'm not vulnerable. No, no, no. The Bible says, he that think he stand, take heed, lest he fall. Even when you are strong, you are also vulnerable. You are vulnerable when you are strong. You are vulnerable when you are weak. And the Bible tells us that God will be your protector when you are strong. God will be your protector when you are weak. This is what Jesus said to Simon Peter. Simon, I'm praying for you because Satan is shivering you. But when you have overcome, turn and help and strengthen your brother. I can be caught off guard by the when, the where, and the how the enemy attacks me. But my God, my protector, he is ready to shield me and to protect me from the enemy. In fact, the Bible tells in verse 6 that God will protect us from sunstroke and moonstroke. Sunstroke. What is sunstroke? You see, as a soldier, when you go under the sun and you don't have water, what happened to you? You face what? Dehydration. And if you face dehydration for too long, your body starts to what? To shut down. So the Bible says God will protect us from the heat, from sunstroke. God will also protect us from what? The moonstroke. What is moonstroke? You know this word called lunatic. Lunatic comes from word what? Loon. See, in those days, they believe the person that is mad, a lunatic, is because the moon has struck on them. That's why when you watch cinema and all this funny, the dark side always deal with what? The moon. So, when God will protect you from moonstroke, that means what? God says he will give you a peace in your mind. He will protect your mind. Say amen to that. God has not given us a troubled mind, a weary mind. God has not given us a mind to worry. Say amen. Who does the thinking? You or God? You or God? You. So what do you have to do? Change the channel. You know how to change channel? If you don't know how to change channel, ask your husband. They are very good in changing the channel of the TV. So the Bible tells the only way, when God said, I will protect you from moonstroke, that means God has said in his word that I will give you a mind. A mind that will not trouble you. Because God said, when the enemy attack you, he will attack you in your mind. Whether the attack is open or secret, whether it's daytime or night, my God is my protector. I told you about the joyride that I had. The vertigo in Melbourne came the most unexpected. I thought I was dying. But God is aware of what happens to me. He's there to protect me, to guide me, to help me. And he gave me all the resources I need to stand and face the day of battle. I know in 2019, when trouble comes, I hang on to God, my protector. He protects me again and again from all the fiery darts of the enemy. No weapon formed against me will stand. I hope always, my God is my protector. I encourage you, make him your protector. The last thing, verse 7 and verse 8. In temptation, God is my preserver. The Lord shall preserve me from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and ever forevermore.
Temptation is common to all men. The only people who cannot be tempted is a dead person. If you are alive, rejoice when you face temptation. It shows that you are alive. But the psalmist said, the Lord will preserve me from all evil. Not some evil, but all evil. God, you protect me from all evil. When the Bible uses the word evil, it does not mean evil from the outside alone. Do you realize that any of us is capable of evil? Hello? Any of us is capable of it? The heart is evil and wicked. If you don't watch your heart, you'll be surprised that when you are angry, when you are upset, when you are not happy, you'll be surprised the evil thoughts that comes into here. How many realize that? So the Bible tells us that God will protect us from all evil. It's not just evil that comes upon us. It's also evil that can be stolen from us when we are not watchful, when we forgot that we are a new creation with a new heart, with a new life, with a new spirit. We forgot that the old has passed and the new has come. And we forgot that God has put His Spirit in us and He has given us a new heart. And He asks us right now, live not according to old heart, which is evil and corrupt, but live according to the new heart, created in the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. We all have a choice. We all have a choice to choose how we behave. We have a choice to choose how we react. We have a choice to say, to choose what we say when we are not happy. We all have a choice. God, preserve me from evil. The prayer of Jesus, lead us not into what? Temptation. Lead us not into evil. Deliver you from evil. God, deliver me from evil. And how does God do it? His word prompt you. His spirit will prompt you. And when it happened, how do you respond? Do you obey or you just brush it off? Can I encourage you? Learn to obey God. He preserved you from all evil and for eternity. God, you guard me for my going out and my coming in from this time and forever. God is faithful to preserve you from your day-to-day activities and for eternity. 2018, if it was not the preserving hand of God, where would I be? Have you thought of that? Have you thought of that? Oh! The car just missed me. The car didn't miss you. God was what? There. God was there. Nothing happened by chance, by fate, or by luck. Is God's hand preserving you from evil? David prayed, preserve me, O Lord. I know when temptation is at the door waiting to power me, God preserve my life, God preserve my sanity, and God preserve me. When I'm tempted in 2019, I know I will be tempted. I will hang on. God is my preserver. He will make a way, an escape for me when I hope always and trust in Him. When I feel as though I'm at the end of my rope and my enemy is going to win, whether the enemy is sickness, disease, disappointment, or discouragement, I will remember who my God is and what my God can do for me. He is my helper, my strengthener, my protector, and my preserver. This pilgrim psalm, 121, is my song. When I sing this song, I can always hope. When I sing this song day by day or night by night throughout the year, I am grateful that this song tells me I'm not alone. God is my help. My life, my home, my marriage, God is my help. And when I sing this song, I know it works. It has always worked. And in 2019 and beyond, I will continue to sing this song. Because when I sing this song, my burden become His burden. My problem become His problem. My worry become His worry. My responsibility is just hope in Him, trust in Him, obey in Him. That's my responsibility. So I encourage you, as we come to the end of the year, Psalm 121, hope always. Hope for yourself. Hope for your children. Hope for your marriage. Hope for those that you love. Hope always. Why don't we stand up? I want you I want you this morning to make this psalm as your personal psalm, as a song that you can sing as you progress going up in life every year. That God is your helper. God is your strengthener. God is your protector. And God is your preserver. He's a God that is not against you. He's a God for you. So I have put this as a decoration for you to say. There's something powerful about being prayed. There's something powerful about declaring it with your mouth. The Bible says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of God. And when faith is in there, faith must be what? Confess. So I want you to declare this aloud that you can hear yourself. Let's say it together. Lord, I thank you that you watch over my coming and going, that you neither slumber or sleep. Are you all saying?
Yes.
I'm asking you because I just came back last night from Singapore and my ear usually take a while to open. So even when I'm preaching, I don't even hear myself. So you're all saying, okay, let's say it again. Don't poke up, young man. Paul. You lead them.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Lord, thank you that you watch over my coming and going, and that you neither slumber or sleep. Thank you for your constant care, that you are my helper and strengthener in the daily battles that I face.
Amen.
Protector and defender against the scheme of the enemy and the evil that tries to overtake me. I believe that no weapon formed against me will prosper, because you are always greater. And my life is hidden in Christ. I am safe with you. I choose today as a pilgrim to hope always and sing the going up song. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Paul. Well, you made a declaration. Amen. And the declaration is powerful because it is God's promise to you. God promised to you. I'm believing as 2018 comes to a close, 2019 is going to be great. As we have our message next year, the crown of His goodness from Psalm 65. We're going to look at the whole Psalm. Amen. Let's pray.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone numbers shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.